Hello, my lovelies. I'm sick as a dog, but I'll try to make this one anyway. Get yourself ready for another episode of
the Goat Podcast.
I'm bored. I'm home from my day job. Sick. I know what you're thinking. How can a guy with 14 subscribers on his YouTube channel still have a day job? Well, I still do. I thought it was going to be milk and honey from now. I've made two episodes, one regular and one music special. I figured I would be flying a helicopter by now. Maybe next week. At first, my plan for this episode was to talk about blasphemy and blasphemy laws, but something caught my eye. I'll have to do that episode later. Today, when I'm recording this episode, it is May 6th, 2024. So yesterday was May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Those words always have me thinking of submerging myself in mayonnaise. Cinco de Mayo. And now maybe you, too, will be thinking about that in the future whenever you hear the words Cinco de Mayo. I hope you do. I can be somewhat of a rambling fool when I'm sick and coming down with a fever, but please don't turn it off. I think I have something to say here. Yesterday, as I was commuting to band rehearsals, I listened to an episode of Dark Matter 2525 with the title, Did the Apostles Die for a Lie? The angle was whether or not we know what happened to the apostles, or maybe rather how this is a good and well-grounded argument for a Christian to use to, as they often say, proof of Christianity. Of Christianity being true. John, of Dark Matter 2525. I think it's John. In case I'm mistaken, may I be stoned with really small rock replicas made of styrofoam. John lays it out rather eloquently and goes through the different apostles and the claimed ways that they have died. What the sources are and reasons why it might not be a good idea for a Christian, or anybody, for that matter, to think that all the apostles but one were martyred. My angle is somewhat different, and I'll get to that in a bit. It's nothing new, but it was the first thing I thought of when listening to this video. And you should check the video out as well. I'll put a link to the Dark Matter 2525 video in the description box. I've heard this argument, or whatever it is, before. A colleague at work, yes, I still have a job. 14 subscribers on YouTube apparently isn't enough. He said, the colleague at work, all 12 were martyred. Except Judas, obviously, since he hung himself or fell forward in a field with his intestines flying out. And John, who died of old age. The other 10 were martyred. I asked him how he knew, what sources he used. He said he had been told on a guided trip to the Holy Land, and it was a priest or a monk or someone like that who told him. I took it to mean it was a religious authority in the Holy Land, and therefore it is reliable. I spontaneously laughed a little. I know it's not very polite, but I was somewhat stunned by the statement. I wonder how much the Holy Land added to the reliability, and the religious authority rather signals a bias, if anything. I said, I try to hold the reasoning and evidence for my beliefs to a slightly higher standard than that. Using the word slightly was a way to sugarcoat, maybe, not wanting to be too rude to people you work with. Inside my head, I was going, for fuck's sake, man! What is wrong with you?
Is that all the evidence you need to believe something?
It was told to me in the Holy Land by a holy man. Holy fuck, you're gullible. But I'm somewhat more well-mannered than that and would never say such a thing. Out loud. Just the other day, an acquaintance talked in a manner that somewhat had my woo-woo detector going off. I then asked this person if they believed in the supernatural in any form. The answer was firm. It was a firm yes. Oh, I see. Why? I asked. Oh, I've seen things in my life that can't be explained, she said confidently. I didn't proceed in any debate, but my instant thought was, yet you say you have an explanation. It's not possible to explain, but you have an explanation. The supernatural did it. I too have experienced things I didn't or thought I didn't have an explanation for. And sometimes maybe I just didn't think enough about it. I was just lazy. For instance, just a few days ago, I thought of a person at a specific hour, and that person thought about me. Woo! That's woo, man. You can't explain that. We got us some psychic powers and shit. A special connection. Now, on a more serious note, the odds of that ever happening were really high, actually. I often pass by the neighborhood where the person lives, and I always think of that person then. That it would coincide with an occasion when the other person would think of me, and we would talk the day after was bound to happen sooner or later, I think. No special connection, nothing like that at all. What I once would have considered a meaningful, unexplainable occurrence can easily be explained by actually thinking about it inside your head instead of on the outside of your head. Remember that, kids. Think inside of your head. Even if I wouldn't have been able to explain the thing, it wouldn't have been evidence of anything supernatural. It would only have been evidence of me not knowing the explanation, and I'm not solving anything by inserting an even greater unknown in the form of the supernatural. I'll try to sort of condense what John of Dark Matter 2525 was saying in his video. Of course, I'm posting the link, like I said before. I really think you, my one listener, should check his work out. He's been at it for a while. I first noticed his work a few years back when he made animated videos with God and his angel Jeffrey. This format he's using now, where he addresses different issues in person, is rather new to me, but I think it's good food for thought. So, in short, his brother gave him a book. The title was More Than a Carpenter. He tried to convince him of the validity of Christianity, I think. It's a book that addresses a bunch of arguments for Christianity and for Jesus actually resurrecting as a cosmic zombie. I don't think they mention zombies in the book, though. He goes through a list of apostles from this book saying the apostles died for their belief and who would die for a lie. Now, that is a game we might have to play later. Who would die for a lie? That will be much later. We'll check the list out. And we're playing How Did the Apostles Die? And which way would you prefer to go for your beliefs? Seriously, this fever is not an advantage today. Back to the list from the book More Than a Carpenter. At the top of the list, Peter, crucified upside down. Boy, you turn me inside out. Andrew, crucified. Number three, Matthew, died by the sword. And John died of natural causes. James, the son of Alphaeus, was crucified. And number six, Philip, he was crucified too. Simon was crucified as well. On a more serious note, Thaddeus, the eighth on the list, was killed by arrows. 9, James, the brother of Jesus, stoned to death. 10, Thomas, spear thrust, was the way he met his maker, so to speak. 11, Bartholomew, crucified as well. And 12, James, the son of Zebedee, died by the sword. Just like Matthew, according to the book, More Than a Carpenter. How would you like to go? Comment on the YouTube channel. How would you like to die for your beliefs? And also, answer me this. Can one take too much NyQuil? I'm not going to tell you what can be said about the validity of these claimed deaths. Yes, they are claims of deaths. Just because it is written in a book doesn't mean we can take it at face value. To my knowledge, the author didn't cite his sources, but I might be mistaken there. John looked into it in this video and goes through the list and the problems with the claim rather thoroughly, based on existing scholarship on the matter. Check it out. So what about the thought I had? The first one when I started listening to this Dark Matter video. First off, I just want to say this. I find the argument tremendously stupid. If it is supposed to be an argument for the Bible, Christianity being true and factual. We're going to listen to professional apologists and complete Frank Turek addressing the issue as if it is a given that they wouldn't have died as martyrs unless the whole Jesus thing was true. I've edited all these clips that are to come, so we don't have to listen through the whole thing. But I'll leave a link in the description box. Well, a guy is asking him a question, but begins by saying,
"The disciples being willing to die for their faith is very good evidence for the New Testament."
Nah, not really. Maybe if you have all your biases intact and you haven't done any actual thinking inside of your head, then maybe. Maybe this is the most probable outcome of that sort of reasoning. Doesn't mean it's true, though.
So just because we might not have exact descriptions of how they died, doesn't mean that they didn't die, because universally, particularly for the four big ones, Paul, Peter, and the two Jameses, we have very strong evidence they all died as martyrs for being Christians when they could have saved themselves by not being Christians. So why would they do that? And they were all eyewitnesses of this. Why would they do that if it didn't happen?
What I get out of this, I want to make sure I'm not strawmanning their position, but please comment if I do. Their position seems like they're saying it's good evidence for the truthfulness of a claim when somebody is willing to die for their belief. John Matter, Dark Matter 2525, is looking into whether we could say they were really martyred. I'm going to discuss whether someone's willingness to die is evidence of the truthfulness of what they are willing to die for. Sometimes it's presented as one of many proofs or many evidences of the resurrection of Jesus.
His disciples believed that they were seeing Jesus after his resurrection, that is, in a post-mortem raised state, so much so that they were willing to die for this. This is remarkable.
The death of these eyewitnesses does have great evidential power. And so I think it does matter to our case. It's one of the strongest pieces of evidence I think we have in the first century, that the actual eyewitnesses were willing to die for what they said happened. And I think that is powerful.
The actions of the apostles are a powerful witness that Jesus was raised from the dead and he is the Savior of the world. So believe this, because his apostles did not die for a lie, nor am I living for one.
I'll put links to these videos in the description box, and there are many more like them. They seem to think this is a really convincing argument. But is it really that convincing? To me, it is obviously not convincing. I'm not impressed by the "they wouldn't die for something they knew to be a lie," as if somebody couldn't be mistaken. They were eyewitnesses, so they knew. Well, eyewitnesses have messed up a lot of things, especially if their witness was written by somebody else years and years after the actual event, and if their supposed testimony was passed down by the word of mouth for years and years. Well, anybody has played the game of telephone. We all know it's not the safest way to transmit a message if you want it to stay the same. Let's lay aside whether the apostles died as martyrs or not. I haven't seen convincing enough evidence of that to even entertain the idea. It might have happened, but for the core question, I don't even care if they died as martyrs or not. But let's grant it, they died as martyrs. The core question for me is a willingness to die for your conviction evidence for the truthfulness of said conviction? The short answer is no.
How very much I've loved you. How very much I've tried my best to give you the good life.
On November 18th, 1978, some 909 people died in Jonestown, many of them voluntarily, for what they believed in, that Jim Jones was a prophet. They believed in him, and they were eyewitnesses to Jim Jones. They drank something similar to Kool-Aid, spiked with cyanide, whilst Jim Jones was speaking in the microphone, being recorded. 909 people died for what they believed in. And I bet all of these men we just listened to would claim that they died for a lie, for a socialistic, religious lie. They would probably say that they weren't true Christians. The voice you hear in the background is the man Jim Jones on the night that 909 people die. It's such a waste. They die for nothing. They had been fostered into the idea that the prophet is right. Maybe the apostles were in a similar situation. They believed with all of their hearts that it was true, but it was a lie. Is that a possibility? Have you ever believed in anything and later found out it wasn't true? So have I, and I bet you have as well. Are you willing to lay down your life for something you cannot be sure of? This life is precious. As far as we know, it's the only one we have. All the generations prior to you, if only one of them had an accident before they procreated, you wouldn't be here. Life is precious, because it's rare. How can you be sure that the thing you lay down your life for is worth dying for? Jim Jones told the 909 people a lie, or something that wasn't true. Maybe he was convinced all this was going to happen.
I know that's what's going to happen. That's what he intends to do, and he will do it. He'll do it. Fortunately, being so bewildered with many, many pressures on my brain, seeing all these people behave so treasonous, it was just too much for me to put together. But I now know what he was telling me, and it'll happen. If the plane gets in the air, even. So my opinion is that we be kind to children and be kind to seniors take the potion like they used to take in ancient Greece and step over quietly, because we are not committing suicide. It's a revolutionary act. We
can't go back. David Koresh and the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas, believed something to be true to the point where they picked up arms and several of them died. They were ready. They were ready to fight back. 80 people, out of which 17 children, died that day. They had a strong belief that David Koresh was the Messiah. In an article in Newsweek from 2018, March 12th, a Waco siege survivor still thinks cult leader David Koresh is the Messiah, the Son of God.
Sitting around the camps, do you wonder who they are?
Was the beliefs of the people of Jonestown true? Was the beliefs of David Koresh and the Branch Davidians true? Was the beliefs of every suicide bomber in the Middle East true? Or the guys who hijacked planes and flew them into buildings, were their beliefs true as well? If you're going to use willingness to die for one's belief as a measuring stick for what is true, then you're painting yourself into a corner where you will have to be willing to hold conflicting ideas as all true. Unless you find the argument as convincing for, say, the existence of Thor and Odin, many were prepared to die for the belief of going to Valhalla. It's nothing but a special pleading fallacy if it is only good evidence for your own beliefs. One might argue, as many do, that they were eyewitnesses. Does it really make any difference? Without addressing the fact that we cannot be certain these people died for their beliefs or even existed at all, or if they actually were eyewitnesses. Let's set all of that aside and just let's make it perfectly clear. People can believe they witnessed something that never happened at all. It's called a false memory. Or when in groups of people, it is known as the Mandela effect, stemming from when many people were being sure that Nelson Mandela died in prison in 1980. Well, spoiler alert, he didn't. He was released from prison and became the president of South Africa. I do, of course, however, think it's rather reasonable to take into consideration the reliability of the sources used. But for that, look at the video with Dark Matter 2525. I'm sure many others have addressed it as well. It's still a really bad argument. The willingness of someone to give up their life for a belief, being evidence the belief is true, regardless the sincerity of said belief, is utterly ridiculous. Every war ever fought had at least two sides where people were sincerely convinced of some belief they were willing to die for. Right now in Russia, the narrative is that the Ukrainians are Nazis, especially with their Jewish president. The Jewish Nazis are the worst, aren't they? Some 80 years ago, there might have been something to that narrative. Nazis are not very popular in Russia. Ever since the Second World War, the word has become a trigger. I can understand that. I can relate. My granddad was a POW in Germany during the war. Even Sweden, little secular, peace-loving Sweden, now NATO member, got a taste of the Nazi smearing. Outside of the Swedish embassy in Moscow, posters were put up describing the founder of IKEA, filmmaker Ingmar Bergman, and the author of Pippi Longstocking as all being Nazis. Damn that Pippi Longstocking and her fucking monkey. They are fucking monkey Nazis. Damn them all to hell. It's easier to get somebody prepared to go to death for a belief, a strong-held belief. It doesn't necessarily mean that the belief itself is true. I believe it really, really, really super hard, therefore it is true. Can you hear how stupid that sounds? Considering how many people have been killed and been prepared to meet their death because of what they believed. Many people believe in a lot of shit they apparently are willing to die for. Does it make all of it true? Or do we need something else? Thank you for taking the time to listen. Please place your comments over at the YouTube channel. I'd love to know what you think. and where you think my reasoning is flawed so I can better myself. And please like and subscribe and rate and all of that. The YouTube channel is slowly closing in on 15 subscribers, and so is the Facebook page. There will be a big old party as soon as we reach the 15 mark. It's going to be all milk and honey from that point on. Take care. See ya.